The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. In those days Mary got up and hurried to the hill country to a town of Judah. She entered the home of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Just as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She called out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? In fact, just now, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed, because the promises spoken to her from the Lord will be fulfilled." Then Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble state of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
The portion of God's Word that we'll focus our hearts on this morning comes from our Gospel from Luke chapter 1. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of a humble brag? Raise your hand. You ever heard that term before? The term was coined by a Hollywood writer and producer by the name of Harris Whittles to describe a common trend on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. Because Whittles was noticing that a growing number of celebrities and athletes and socialites were posting things or sending out tweets that had kind of this air of humility and modesty and self-deprecation. But by doing so, what they really were trying to do was highlight something about themselves that they were really proud of. Hence, a humble brag. Here's an example if you're trying to figure this out in your head. Say some actress posts on her Twitter, "I always feel so awkward when I get randomly recognized by strangers out in public. I never know what to say." You see, there's this appearance of humility in those words, right? And yet we really understand what she's trying to do there. She's trying to let everybody know, "I am so famous, I am so well known, that strangers recognize me out in public. So you ought to know me too." There's humility, but ultimately it's a brag, right? And humble brags became a pretty common thing because, let's face it, we as human beings, we kind of like to have the spotlight on ourselves. And humility is not something that comes very naturally to our human nature. Now this morning in our sermon text, we're focusing on the, let's say, the biblical equivalent of a social media post. That is, the song. You see, throughout the Bible, we find a number of different people who express their thoughts and their feelings about some big thing that happened in their life with the song. And today we're focusing on probably one of the most famous and well-known of those biblical songs, the Song of Mary, which is often referred to as the Magnificat. You probably know the story pretty well. After being told by the angel Gabriel that she was going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, that the Holy Spirit was going to conceive this child in her virgin womb. Mary then runs off to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And God also lets Mary know that he had also done a miracle for Elizabeth. She, who was old and barren, was now in her sixth month of her pregnancy. The child in her womb was none other than the one that would grow up to be John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And we hear that when Mary's greeting reaches Elizabeth's ears, John in utero jumps for joy in the presence of the Savior, which causes Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, to declare, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And then Mary responds with her song, expressing her thoughts and feelings. But what I want us to consider this morning is whether this song of Mary is just one big, famous, well-known humble brag. After all, listen to this line from Mary's song. "God has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Is this the biblical equivalent of Mary sending out a tweet that says, "I can't believe that God would choose humble, lowly old me to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Everybody's going to know my name from this point forward. Hashtag blessed." Is Mary trying to sound humble? But really, she's intending to let everybody know, "Never forget my name, because God chose me." Now, I think most people wouldn't really blame Mary if she boasted a little bit about this. Elizabeth isn't exactly exaggerating when she declares, "Blessed are you among women." Out of the billions and billions of women who have ever lived in the world, God chose Mary to be the only one to be the mother of the Savior. She has the true monopoly on being able to call herself the mother of the Son of God. And so it would make sense, right, if this is a brag a little bit on Mary's part. This is the reason that the Catholic Church considers Mary to be kind of the 1B to Jesus 1A when it comes to the importance scale. However, what we find in humble brags on social media is that although there's this veneer of humility, really the person wants the focus to be entirely on themselves. But if you notice in the Magnificat, that's not what Mary does at all. Rather than pointing the spotlight on herself, time and time again, she puts the spotlight on God. As she begins her song, "My soul glorifies the Lord." And even in that line that I quoted a little bit ago, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed," Mary is acknowledging that the generations would call her blessed not because she herself was so great, but because of all the great things that God was doing for her. Because, as she said, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." Over and over and over again in the verses of Mary's song, we see her put the focus not on me, but on He. But let's face it, this kind of humility is not a natural part of our condition, is it? The pastor finishes his sermon and stands in the back, and people tell him, "Great sermon today, Pastor." Outwardly, he might say something like, "Oh, I'm just thankful that the Lord could bless my message." But deep down, that sinful pride likes to say, "I'm just really glad that I'm so good at these things." Or when the athlete or the musician or the actor receives an award or has some sort of great performance and declares, "All glory goes to God," deep down in that sinful pride, are they really saying, "But make sure you give a lot of the glory to me"? And when our lives are going really well, everything going according to plan, we might outwardly say things like, "God is just so good." But deep down in our sinful pride, we're thinking, "I've really got my life in order." Even as Christians, it's very easy for us to give sort of this outward veneer of humility and praise to God, but But deep down inwardly in our sinful pride, there's a lot of self-reliance and self-focus and self-aggrandizing in our hearts. Now, when Mary talks about the humble state of God's servant that she was living in, that wasn't some sort of false humility. No, this is real. Mary really did live in a very humble state. A poor young woman from a podunk town like Nazareth, engaged to the village carpenter, was not exactly a woman of power and authority and sway like the world might think God would choose that kind of woman for this kind of honor. But what you find in the Bible is that God's ways are not the ways of the world. You see, people usually surround themselves with people that are powerful or wealthy or influential because those are the people that are going to be able to do really good things for me. But not God. Time and time again, God is lifting up the lowly, the humble, the ones that don't have a whole lot going for them. Not because of what those people could do for God, but because of what He could do for them. Because when God chooses the humble and the lowly, it is so evidently clear whose power it is that are making these things happen. And so we have a God who lifts up the lowly. And as you read the words of Mary's song, you see that theme recurring time and time again, that God is mindful of the humble state of His servant. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped His servant Israel. Compare that with how Mary says God treats the proud and the powerful, those that put their trust and their reliance in themselves. It says that God has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has sent the rich away empty. So is this why God chooses Mary for this special honor? Because she is so incredibly humble and lowly that she's earned the right to become the mother of God? Well, not at all. See, while the Catholic Church might take Mary and put her up on a pedestal as some sort of holy, sinless person that should be the object of our prayers and maybe even kind of a co-redeemer alongside Jesus, maybe even sometimes the 1A to the 1B of Jesus. Well, the Catholic Church and other people might think that about Mary. That's not what Mary says about herself, and it's not what the Bible says about Mary. As Mary acknowledges about herself, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." A sinless, holy, perfect Mary who is a co-redeemer would have no reason to need a Savior. But as a humble, lowly sinner, she admits that that Savior that God had planted in her womb was also going to be her Savior from her sins too. And that's why Mary praises God for His mercy. He had chosen her, not because she was perfect, not because she had earned the right. In fact, as Jesus grows and gets into His ministry, we find a couple different places in the gospel where it seems like Mary kind of forgot or lost sight of who her son was and what it was that he had come to do. No, God had chosen Mary not because of some special thing about her, but because God is gracious and merciful. Because the God who lifts up the humble and the lowly had simply chosen her. And in His grace and mercy, God would remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised their ancestors. See, Israel had been anything but humble and faithful and obedient to God from the time that God had told Abraham that the Savior was going to come from his family line. And yet through what Mary says, she reminds us that it's for such sinful, disobedient, distrusting people that the Savior would come into the world. People like you and me. See, the God who lifts up the humble and the lowly shows that he's that kind of God by himself becoming humble and lowly. Born as a true human being of a human mother. Born into poverty and humility. Born as one who would be constantly healing the sick and the diseased, who would be embracing the social outcast, who would surround himself by other people that were humble and lowly, that he would grow up to die the most humble and lowly of deaths. See, God is the God who lifts up the humble and the lowly, and he shows that by becoming humble and lowly so that he can lift us up for eternity. And so, yes, I guess in a way you might say that Mary's song, the Magnificat, really is a humble brag. Not Mary putting on a veneer of humility so that she can brag about herself. But Mary humbly acknowledging that she, as a sinner, needed a Savior. And bragging not about herself, but about God. And his grace, and his mercy, and his love, that he would send such a Savior for her and for this world through her. And dear friends in Christ, as we continue these last few days of preparation for the celebration of our Savior's birth, as we look forward to the day when he will come again, we also do so humbly, acknowledging that, yes, we as sinners, we need that Savior to come for us. And yet we sing our songs of praise and humility, but in a way that we can't help but brag. Can't help but brag about the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of our God who lifts up the humble and the lowly. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.